help and resources. It is bilingual. More information at chirla.org.
Yo, this is your brother Speech from the crew Arrested Development. You rocking with KPFK 90.7, Los Angeles.
Listening to Cut to the Chase. My name is Sylvester Rivers, and we're back. This is our regular time, Fridays at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Today, we have an exciting show. We have two guests that should join us on Zoom. Maurice Kami, he's the executive director of Friends of the Congo. And we also have Netfa Freeman, who's with the Black Alliance for Peace. You heard their voice. Well, you heard Netfa here before. You haven't heard Maurice. So we're going to talk about something that happened last month, because it's August. This is August, the 1st of August. So here we go. Here we go again. And we are in Fun Drive. So in lieu of bringing you the news headlines, we're going to urge you to pledge, because this particular program is listener sponsored. What does that mean? It means that we don't get corporate money. And that is so, so, so very important in these days, today, because everybody's getting bought out. Bought and sold. I was writing down some notes over the weekend. I wrote down, it comes back to what most of the radical global South thinkers are saying up front. If we don't come up with our own platforms, paradigms, systems, completely different from everything that was established by the Americas and imposed by the Americas after the Second World War, we will continue to be dominated by them and be their slave. So that includes financing our own media outlets. In lieu of the news headlines, we'd like to, like I said, take 5 minutes out to get each one of you to sponsor this particular program. Cut to the Chase is one of the few radical programs here on KPFK. Yes, you will find liberal and so-called progressive programming, but that is different from radical. You tuned in last week. If you tuned in last week, you heard what I talked about. I called it liberal racism. And what that is folks who basically call themselves liberals, but at the same time don't tell you the history of what of the wars going on around the world and here in the United States and abroad. Yes, war here in the United States. Those are the people who still revere the pedophiles, the rapists, the genocidal maniacs, the outcasts, the criminals that came from Britain to the United States and established a criminal society here in North America. Those racist liberals are the ones who still revere Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, John Adams, and all those slaveholders, pedophiles. They call themselves Jeffersonians. They quietly believe in superiority of the race. These liberal races are the Democrats who silently agree with the conservative racists on the other side of the aisle. Basically, they both are imperialist, doing what they feel is necessary to maintain the illusion of white superiority, to sustain the illusion of unchallenged strength and dominance. It's in the school's curriculum, business plan, NGOs, government agencies creating a narrative of the so-called good guy against the bad guy. Yeah, that's what they do. They're branding words and phrases to accommodate their facade of superiority. You know those words. Demonizing words like communism, woke, CRT, socialism, black, and on and on and on. Creating a myth of loving peace while escalating war at home and abroad. Peace only to get to their enemy to lay down their arms while they strategize on the next invasion. For those of you who remain patriotic, I guess, you know, what is patriotism? I guess you're correct if you say I am not patriotic. I guess you are. I'm not patriotic, and this is not patriotic, and it's radical. In both cases, I won't have patriotism. I won't be patriotic in order to maintain genocidal maniacs, which is the past and present history. And you tell me, go back to where you stole. Go back to where we stole you from. Like one congressman told a Native American, go back to where you came from. Oh, boy, the ignorance is just so, so enormous. And as Shahid Bolson suggested, he said, I have a problem selling my citizenship. He said, we could sell our citizenship. I'd have no problem selling my citizenship. I think the Trump gold card, you could sell for $5 million. Okay, that sounds good to me. $5 million. Anyway, I'm setting this all up to ask you to call in and subscribe right now. The number is 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. We do have one donation already in. It's a $60 donation. It's from Halisi Price. Thank you so much for that $60 donation. 818-985-5735. And we will open up the phones to get your dialogue with our guest. 818-985-5735. We're going to jump to the news headlines and then we'll be back.
Yo, I'm Teresa Wersbianska. South Korea's jailed ex-president Yoon Suk-yeol has again refused to attend questioning by investigators. But in his latest refusal today, Yoon took off his prison uniform and lay down on the floor of his detention room, according to investigators. Yoon removed from office in April over his ill-fated imposition of martial law was sent back to prison last month as he stands a high-stakes trial over rebellion and other charges. He faces investigations into other criminal allegations that are not related to his December 3rd martial law decree. U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East Steve Witkoff is visiting Gaza today to inspect food distribution sites and discuss the starvation crisis, as the U.S. says it will work with Israel to get more food into the Strip. Blake Sifton reports from Tel Aviv.
U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is visiting Gaza on Friday along with Ambassador Mike Huckabee. The White House says they will inspect food distribution sites, work to secure plans for more food delivery, and meet with Palestinians to hear about the hunger situation firsthand. Reports have suggested that they will visit food distribution sites run by the controversial U.S. and Israeli-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. Sites run by the group have been the scene of regular incidents of deadly violence, in which the UN says Palestinians seeking aid have been shot and killed by both Israeli forces and the American military contractors guarding the sites. Blake Sifton, Tel Aviv.
The hunger crisis in Gaza has reached a critical tipping point under Israel's ongoing assault. Experts and aid groups warn, with deaths likely to rise sharply without immediate humanitarian relief. Rami Almagari reports.
Here in Gaza City, local residents and displaced ones still complain of skyrocketing prices of goods and commodities, despite the fact that dozens of truckloads and airdropped aid supplies have recently been sent to Gaza following an Israeli decision to allow aid in. Khadija is an elderly mother who was displaced from Gaza City after her family home was destroyed during the war.
We want a solution. We will not leave Gaza, but find us a solution. I tell you, throw chemicals on us and kill us. Can you imagine? One tomato is $50. If we find something to eat, we can't complete a decent dish. We can't afford that. We can't afford flour or tomatoes. We are here, only waiting to die.
Khadija's complaint is shared with others in Gaza City. Abdullah is the head of a four-member family.
I fed my family with whatever is available or affordable. Half a kilo of lentils is sold for $7. When I can't afford it, I go to charitable kitchens to get some food. For the past 2 months, I have not been able to afford flour and could not bring any home. Unfortunately, thieves and gangs take over the flour and other goods. We demand a stop to the bloodshed and the delivery of aid to those who need it in a fair way. Thirdly,
all right, those were the news headlines, and this is Cut to the Chase. Our guests are lined up. We have Maurice Cammy, and we also have Nut for Freeman. Say something. Make sure we have you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you. Okay, good being great. With my comrade, brother Maurice.
Maurice, are you?
Peace, Sylvester.
All right, we are.
How you doing? How you doing, Nut? Hope all is well on your end, brother.
Yep. Yep, good.
Okay, we are streaming live on YouTube, so that, you know, if y'all want to show your faces, that's cool, too.
Oh, we are. Oh, I can, I guess.
You don't have to. Maurice, my first time talking to you. How are you, my brother? Maurice,
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. Now, by the way, before we get started, because this is we're going to play a clip from a press conference that Pinocchio had with some African leaders. But before that, I just want to mention that, number one, this is August 1st, which is Black August. Most people don't know what Black August is. Black August is a celebration of the political prisoners that specifically black, but all, if I'm correct. So Black August is celebrating the work and the service that these wonderful men and women have done over the years and decades, and how they've been attacked by this system. So this is Black August. And there's going to be a celebration for my sister, Assumpta Atura. And you can go to the KPFK website. I don't have that pulled up. Maybe if you could pull that up and see when that is, we can talk about that. I think Numity is having a get-together, because she's made her transition. She's an ancestor now. But you could do it later, because we want to play that clip first. So, gentlemen, I invited you here because we're in a crisis. Yeah, there it is right there. A celebration of our life, remembering Assumpta Atura. That's going to be Sunday, August 10th. Sunday, August 10th, between 4 and 7 p.m. at the Episcopal Church of the Advent. That's 2614 South Longwood Avenue in Los Angeles. 2614 South Longwood Avenue in Los Angeles. So, come down. If you remember Spotlight Africa, that was Assumpta Atura. She made her transition. And so anyway, let's get on with it. We're going to first queue up. What happened? There was a press conference in the White House. And this, so you can start that. And I want y'all to listen to it, and I want your comments on it. Here we go.
And for the African leaders, my question is, as you can see, President Trump is working to bring peace, not only in Africa, but also in the world. Are you all considering to nominate President Trump for a Nobel Prize Peace?
Hey, did y'all hear that? Were you able to hear that? Okay, but before we start that, Maurice, I want you to break down. She's saying, will you nominate President Trump for a Nobel Prize priest, which is the Peace Prize of the, whatever that thing is. And it seems like they give it to anybody now. But Maurice, there was this agreement, I guess, ceasefire in the Congo. Would you talk about that for us? Would, let us know what that is all about. What happened there? Was it legit that Trump brokered some peace agreement between Rwanda and the Congo?
Sure, sure. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share what's unfolding in the heart of the motherland, particularly in the Great Lakes region. On, you know, the Congo itself has been the victim of a 30-year war of aggression, plunder, and now occupation by agents of neocolonialism, primarily Yoweri Museveni of Uganda and Paul Kagame of Rwanda. And they've invaded Congo twice, 1996-1998. Support proxy militia groups in the Congo for almost three decades. And all of that they've done, couldn't have done it without the support of the United States, UK, France, and the West. When I say support, meaning arming, financing, training, providing military equipment, the whole bit. And the since the uptick in the genocide against the Palestinian people, there have been greater attention brought to what's been happening in the Congo. And the United States has, under Donald Trump anyways, has jumped in to try and, I wouldn't say resolve the conflict, but to implicate itself in a more overt fashion and in two ways. Donald Trump is on this mission to receive a Nobel Peace Prize, which is not that far-fetched when you consider that Henry Kissinger and Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. So it's not unlikely that he'll get it, but that's one of the aims. The second is that we're in the midst right now of a hot pursuit for critical minerals throughout the globe, particularly in the global south. And Congo is the front and center of that. When Trump came into office, he stated that, you know, he sat down with Zelensky, said, you know, in order for us to address the issue with Russia, you know, you need to sign this deal so we can get access to critical minerals. Zelensky balked. When Zelensky balked, that prompted the Congolese president, Felix Tshisekedi, who himself is an agent of neocolonialism, to rush to Donald Trump and say, hey, you know, Rwanda is attacking us again. Would you come to our rescue in exchange for minerals? And of course, Trump jumped at that. So that's the context. And as a result of those discussions, we see, especially in light of the fact that Rwanda has increased its attack on Congo by capturing two major cities in the east of the country, Trump, with his senior advisor for Africa, Massad Boulos, a Lebanese businessman who's you know, worked throughout the African continent, jumped in, and they've been working out a deal between Rwanda and the DRC. Well, they signed what they... Oh, go ahead.
I don't want to take you from your thought, but you go ahead and finish that thought, then I just want
to... Yeah, so they're working out a deal. They signed what they call a peace agreement, which is to be... which is known as the Washington Accord on June 27th. And that agreement... meets the interests of three main players. Meets the interests of Rwanda, who's been plundering Congo's minerals, so they can, according to the deal, they can get access to Congo's minerals and process minerals for the Congo and ship them out to the West and wherever else. The Congolese president himself, Tshisekedi, the militia group and the Rwandan soldiers who captured a good swath of the east of the Congo, we're looking to head to Kinshasa to take him out. So by virtue of this deal, he stopped that that process. And then the third beneficiary is Donald Trump and the Trump administration and the billionaire class that supports him. They now can pursue, not that they can pursue, but they can have greater access, let's say, to minerals. You have Jeff Bezos, and you have Bill Gates and Bloomberg. They've raised $1 billion to pursue lithium in the Congo. You have Gentry Beach, who's a co-chair of Trump's finance or election finance campaign. He's going after a coltan mine that's been captured by the militia in the East. So all of these forces, the local elites, the agents of neocolonialism, Trump himself and the billionaire class around him, they all stand to benefit. The only people who do not stand to benefit are the Congolese people, because the question of justice is not center at the of this peace deal. Question of accountability, Rwanda is not being held to account, is not a center of the peace deal. And then you have Felix Tshisekedi himself, who's really a hapless leader. He gets sustained power, and all that works out to the detriment of the people writ large. And that's why we're mobilizing folks to say, hey, you know, we need to stand by the Congolese people. We need to let people know the truth about this peace deal, that it doesn't really benefit the people, the masses of Congolese, the Congolese workers, but it benefits the global elites and their agents on the African continent, like the Kagames, the Musevenis, and the Tshisekedis.
So if I understand you correctly, this so-called peace deal is basically who can get a bigger piece or a part of the pie.
Absolutely. And this is really important, because what we're talking about, and people are not fully present to this, we're talking about U.S. capital, right, capturing the heart of the African continent. And what that means is that wealth that Nkrumah talked about, that Sekou Touré talked about, that was central for powering, you know, the industrialization and development of the African continent. Today, in 2025, that wealth is being captured by the West, what Lumumba fought against. That's why they got rid of Lumumba, because Lumumba said, we wanted this wealth to be utilized for the benefit of Congolese in particular, and for Africa in general, in this project of the United States of Africa. So this is not just a local Congolese issue. This is like a continental-wide issue when you have $24 trillion worth of natural resources that's being captured, you know, by the Gates, by the Bezos, by the Gentry Beach, and you know, all those other billionaires around Donald Trump.
Well, let me ask you this, Maurice, and then we're going to play this clip, and then I want to get both of your comments on it. But Paul Kagame, who is the head of Rwanda right now, wasn't he getting arms and supported by the U.S. and the West also?
He still is.
So, wow. Okay.
He still is. So he went into the French, right, and the European Union have given him 20 million euros over the last few years, because he's gone into Cabo Delgado in Mozambique to combat rebel groups there in Mozambique on behalf of the French natural gas company, oil company, Total, right? So Kagame is firmly ensconced in not only in that hard power, interests of the West, but also the soft power. His former foreign minister, Louise Mushikiwabo, she's the head of the Francophonie. The Francophonie is the French counterpart to the British Commonwealth. So he's firmly ensconced in French and U.S. imperial agenda, both on the soft power end and the hard power end on the African continent.
Ooh, so U.S. is playing both sides. Well, that's what they always do. I have to take a breath. This is something else when you really think about it. So we're going to get into a lot of stuff. But I want to play this clip, a portion of this clip. So there was a press conference in the, I think it was the White House. You had five African heads of states, presidents there. And this journalist, as you heard at the beginning, do you think Trump should get the Peace Prize? Now, this reminds me of, if y'all remember, when they invaded Iraq, they prepped and put up a journalist, this female journalist. I don't know. No, she wasn't a journalist. Actually, they found out that she was the niece of one of the Kuwaiti leaders when the United States wanted to invade Iraq. What they did, they used her. They put her up in here. And she talked about, I saw babies being put on the floor. Do y'all remember that? Being put on the floor. It was all a hoax. It was all a theater. So that is what this, they're using the same
taking
playbook.
Taking out the incubator.
Yes. And they put them on the floor and they killed them. And it was all a lie. So now this lady comes in from nowhere, out of nowhere, and she's like, oh, yes, Trump, you're so great. And what does she ask? She asked the presidents of the countries a question. Do you think he should get the Nobel Peace Prize? Let's roll that, see what happens.
That's a very nice reporter. I got to meet her 2 weeks ago. Would you like to give
Oh, that's a very nice reporter. I got to meet her 2 weeks ago, so she's back.
Do you want to ask any questions, please? Where is my reporter from Africa? There you
oh,
are.
Oh, here you are. There. You? Where is she? Here she is. Bring her out.
My She's reporter from Africa.
In Africa.
Good, good point.
Yeah, thank you. Miss, I have one question for the African presidents and one question for President Trump. As you can see, Mr. President Trump, all the African presidents are very happy with your efforts to bring peace
Not true.
In the Democratic Republic of the Congo. My question to you is, today you are making history by receiving five African presidents and showing the interest of the United States to collaborate and to work close with the African nations.
Not true. Not true.
African continent is watching. African youth is watching. And this new approach that your administration is taking to deal with African nation, not only based on help, but in doing business that everybody can win, is really much appreciated for all the Africans. My question is, are you planning, Mr. President, in the future to travel to Africa to see firsthand all those countries in Africa, all those potential that those countries have? And for the African leaders, my question is, as you can see, President Trump is working to bring peace not only in Africa but also in the world. Are you all considering to nominate President Trump for a Nobel Prize Peace?
Okay, let's take that before they answer, before Trump and the leaders answer. Your take on the question. Netra, go ahead.
Well, this is clearly somebody that they set up. You know, they found this person. He said, where's my reporter from Africa? That whole meeting was nothing. It was shameful. All of them stumbling over themselves to court. The president of imperialism. You know, that's what he is, and president of imperialism, a person, not a person, the state, because we don't want to, I don't really subscribe to the, what you call it, reductionist, personality reductionism, because it doesn't matter what, whether it's Trump or anybody else, this is the role that the United States government plays. And this is a state before this administration and into this administration that is supporting a genocide across the country. I mean, across Gaza and Palestine, supporting the genocide in Africa. It is more pronounced threats against those countries that have decided to plot their own course of independence, and particularly Burkina Faso and the Alliance of Sahel States. In Kenya, the president before this one, just the administration, just at the end of it, they hosted the William Ruto, you know, who is repressing, you know, the groundswell of young activists. They're returning Gen Z and also the workers unions and all of they're just repression against a groundswell against the neoliberal policies that they're implementing at the behest of the West. And they rolled out the red carpet for this person. And Trump, once that Trump comes in and says, well, what, you know, are they, because of, they didn't like them turning, making, talking to China about bilateral deals to China, they said they start questioning the support the U.S. is giving them. And what do those compradors do? They turn around and say, no, boss, you don't have to worry about us talking to China. We still going to be, you know, do whatever. And so this is
we call that buck dancing. Go ahead.
Yeah, buck dancing. So this is the disposition. So you have a person asking this question, a setup question, that clearly on his face, given the facts, you know, how could, you know, I mean, just like Maurice said, this Nobel Peace Prize doesn't really mean much anyway, right? But it's just all performative and window dressing.
Let's see what let's see what the answers are, and then Maurice, you can comment. Go, let's roll that. Here's Trump.
That's a very nice reporter. I got to meet her 2 weeks ago when we had the Congo and Rwanda, and we had some other people up from Africa, and That was the first time. But that's a very nice. I appreciate the questions. Very nice, actually. Would you like to? At some point, I would like to go to Africa. Absolutely. We're going to see what the schedule is. But at some point, I would like to do that very much. Would you like to give a fast answer, please?
He's one of the African leaders.
Microphone, please.
Of course, we on a on soutien cette dynamique.
We are in favor of this dynamic for peace. We are very committed on peace. I am the first head of state who went to Russia and who went to Ukraine both since the start of the war. I held the presidency of ECOWAS, and I went to see Mr. Putin. We spoke for 4 hours, and then I went to Ukraine. I spent 12 hours on a train to speak to President Zelensky. But now the weight of President Trump is something else altogether. We are with you. We are behind you to see what we can do to help bring peace back. No one wins when there's war. So you have our support so that we can bring peace back. Thank you.
Okay. Maurice, what do you, can you believe that?
Yeah, very much so. You know, just a few things. You say, can you believe that? That same reporter and that President Trump references, she's an attractive African woman, by the way. So that's a continuation of his flirting with her.
Yes, I thought. Really, yeah, really, thank you for putting
really
that out.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
so you could, if you saw the see the footage, you just picture, you know, kind of reminds you of those slave masters back in the day.
Yes.
When they see African women and they wanted them.
Exactly.
You just had that energy that was all.
It was. And you could hear it in his voice too.
Yeah. But if you saw it, it was just ridiculous. But in any case, she had interviewed President Tshisekedi before that White House meeting in June 27th. And she reported to Donald Trump that Tshisekedi, is the president of the DRC, was willing to basically pull a Netanyahu, right, to write a letter to the Nobel Committee for President Trump to get the Nobel Peace Prize. So the best way, I think Netfa stated it best, to look at it, to frame it, is in a systemic fashion, not necessarily individuals. So those leaders, for the most part, were they're agents. They're agents of neocolonialism. They're, by virtue of them even coming to Washington, five of them, it gives you some insight in that they see their solution in Washington, right? Ramaphosa saw his solution in Washington. But if you look at the avant-garde leadership on the African continent that Netfa referenced, you know, Assimi Goïta of Mali and Tchiani of Niger and Traoré of Burkina Faso, those that are leading out front on revolution in Pan-Africanism, you couldn't imagine them coming to the White House, period, right? They don't see their solutions there. In fact, they're confrontational, they're anti-imperialist, and they're focused on sovereignty of the African continent. So I think that's probably the best way to look at it, to compare that group of leadership, mm-hmm. You know, to the leading forces on the African continent and where we in the abroad, these Africans, Africans abroad, have to rally behind those who are on the forefront. In fact, the White House meeting was good in the sense that it presented to the African world the contrast as to the future of Africa and the past, right?
Wow.
The future represents those that are building a Pan-African unity. The past we saw on display in the White mm-hmm. House, where people come and they, you know, they supplying, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. to to the empire. So it gives the us abroad a clear choice as to what we're rallying behind. And we've made the choice.
Wow. So,
because we saw when President Trump's head of AFRICOM, Michael Langley, even referenced Traoré in a negative fashion about his controlling the gold for his own personal purposes, not the purposes of the Burkina Bay people, we saw how the African world rose up and said, you know, you're not going to touch this one.
Right.
No, not one hair on his head. So the systemic dynamics that are at play are clearly in front of us, and we see it playing out, you know, in the reality TV that Trump brings to the White House, which I think is good because it lets our people see, like, okay, we know where we stand. We know who to rally behind. We know what the game is like, is about on the continent, and you know, we're going to respond accordingly.
Excellent analysis. We're talking, that, by the way, was Maurice Kami. He's the executive director of Friends of the Congo. And we're also talking with Netva Freeman, who's a part of the Alliance for Black Alliance for Peace. Yes. And you're listening to KPFK. Y'all, excuse me, I want to just take 5 minutes out and do what we do, because this is a non-commercial, non-profit radio station. And I need, I want to raise $1,000 this hour, $1,000. And I want people to call in and subscribe to the station. Now is really the time to do that, because even I talked about the liberal racist. They're all over the place. Not they're on other stations. Yeah, yes, they are here. I'm not going to name any names because that would be indicting and jeopardizing what I do. But they don't talk about the Congo. They won't talk about anything else. But it's so interesting that 818-985-5735 to support KPFK. Call. There's someone waiting by the phone. You can pledge as little as $5, as much as you'd like. I think for $50, you become a member and you could vote for the board members of the station. 818-985-5735. Hit option 2 to subscribe. And we also want to hear from you on this program. 818, same number, 818-985-5735. Hit option 1 to go on the air and talk to our guest. But we need you to call in right now. I'm here only because of you. Trust me. And the station realizes that this program is more of a radical program than the others. And we're not opinion. We go with facts. We don't deal with opinion. We deal with facts. These two gentlemen on our airwaves, they've studied. They know. And they're telling you some facts, not no opinions. They're giving you information that you will not hear on any other radio station in Los Angeles, and hardly any other programs on KPFK. Not only that, the FCC is taking money from those public broadcasting, which they already took from us. So we really need you to step up. There's one caller on the line. I'd like to get 2, 3, or 4. And if you already subscribed, just $5, like I always say, $5 to keep us rolling. $50. I ask the person who answers the phone, option 2, 818-985-5735. If you can get a T-shirt or a tote bag or any premiums that are available. But we really need you to call. Now, I want to wrap this. I want to sort of put this in context to what's going on. Because some people think, well, that's Africa, that's this, that's that. But it's all connected from the world to right here within the United States. It's all connected. Israel has been, and maybe y'all could talk about this, has been a part of the destruction and overthrow of Africa for decades. They've been there. I think who would mention it? It was either Maurice, one of you mentioned that this lady, and I didn't write her, I had wrote a name down, but I forgot my notes at home. She met with Jessicada and talked about having Netanyahu nominate him for the Peace Prize. See how absurd this is? Having Netanyahu nominate somebody for the Nobel Peace Prize. We're in a, this is some kind of matrix that we're in, y'all. And a lot of us, we, you, don't get it. Then you see the connection, how Trump decides to get the European countries to get more arms and put more money on their military, because they're getting their butts kicked by those African countries who kicked them out. So this is a slick way to go into Africa with France, who's pissed because they got kicked out, United States because they got kicked out. Well, you know, hey, y'all need to think more about, they're not thinking about you. Ukraine is a part of the lie. Anyway, I can go on and on and on. Let's, was there a question in there, Maurice? But so the connection, the global connection of this war in Palestine where they're committing genocide. And then I just want to state this before I have y'all make more comments. People talk about, oh, my God, what is it, the 7th, October 7th was so tragic that, you know, they're killing all these people. You know, they killed innocent civilians. Okay. When do we decide that you have the right, if you're being oppressed and subjugated, to fight back? I don't think they ever give you that right. The Black Panthers said they had that right, and they assassinated many of them. This is the first day of Black August. A lot of those brothers are in prison, are dead, because they had, and they weren't killing civilians. Did Nat Turner kill civilians? Yes. Did he have the right to fight back? Yes. So people always, do you condemn Hamas? Do you condemn Hamas? No, it's not good to kill civilians, but no, I don't condemn them for fighting back. I'm going to say it right there. You have the right to fight back, period. But they're trying to change the narrative. They kill people, civilians, all the time. Israel bombed Iran. But you don't ask them that. Oh, my God, you killing civilians. World's defense. Come on, quit that BS. They're not defending themselves. They're a colonial power trying to take over that area. And then they get these puppets, these African leaders, to, I mean, Maurice, you just laid it out. That was beautiful. So let's hear one other clip, and then I want y'all to comment on some things I said. 818-985-5735. There's two callers on the line. Let's get some more people subscribing. Let's get some more people who want to talk to Maurice, Annette for Freeman, Maurice with the Black Alliance for Peace, and Netfa, did I say Netfa? Yeah, Netfa, and Maurice is the executive director of Friends of the Congo. Let's hit that clip, and then I want y'all to break it down to us. 818, let's cut to the chase.
I appreciate it. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President Trump. Thank you for your questions. A Nobel Peace Prize, well, I don't see any problem with it. I think that President Trump deserves it for all the efforts that he's worked on. And he brought peace back in the SIAC region. That is my region, the region where DRC and Rwanda signed a deal. And so he is now bringing peace back into a region where that was never possible. So I believe that he does deserve a Nobel Peace Prize. That is my opinion on this.
Okay. That was a president from Gabon, Price something. I'm not sure. I forgot my notes, y'all. I apologize. There's two callers on the line. Actually, there's three. 818-985-5735. Hit option two if you want to subscribe. Hit option one if you want to talk to our guest. Maurice, you laid it out very eloquently when you talked about how there's a contrast between the reality of what's going on and the narrative they're trying to make us think. Continue.
Yeah, no, I think it would be good to have Netflix chime in, but you mentioned something interesting of note, you know, the president of Gabon, in Nguema, President Nguema, who who took power, overthrew Ali Bongo maybe a couple, a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and, you know, received strong support from France, right? While France, you know, when the leaders of the Sahel states took over power, France and the U.S., they mobilized the economic community of West African states to, you know, to sanction them, to try and cut them off, their landlocked countries, to cut them off from access to the seas, the ports, and to mobilize to try and, you know, reverse the revolutionary forces. But when we saw, you know, the Gabonese president, you know, Nguema, when Nguema took over from Ali, French was all behind that. Some people even say the French may have, you know, egged them on or, you know, supported them to take power.
Right.
When he returned to Gabon after the White House, he returned to Gabon wearing a Make America Red. Make
no
America
way.
Red
oh,
hat,
my God.
Right?
Oh.
So, what again, for us, these events, you know, and, you know, the White House, the U.S. is a dominant power, the empire, you know, it gives us an opportunity to get some insights into where we ought to stand when it comes to the African continent.
Right.
A lot of questions people have come to me over the years, oh, man, there's 55 countries. You know, how do I know? What do I do? Like, you know, there's on the average, you know, for average folks, it's tough for them to really keep up with all that's going on.
Exactly.
But here right now in this moment, we have incredible opportunities to engage our people with popular
Thank
education,
you.
Inform them where they ought to stand.
818.
You know, the tradition that is being continued. You know, we all celebrate, you know, this is 100 year of Fanon, 100 year of Malcolm, 100 year of Medgar, 100 year of Lumumba, right? We all celebrate in the past, but they represented a particular freedom train, freedom track.
Yes.
And folks ought to know what the legacy of that is. Where is it being advanced on the African continent?
Right.
And as we celebrate them and acknowledge them in the past, we also have to recognize, by virtue of our celebrating, that if we take it up, we're going to celebrate them 100 years of Fanon, 100 years of Malcolm, then that means we're assuming responsibility for their legacy and their tradition. What are we doing now to stand with the Malcolms of today, with the, you know, with the Fanons of today, with the Medgar Evers of today, right?
All right, Maurice.
So that's what I take from, you know, from that you know, occurrence in the White House.
Unbelievably, we're running short on time, but we're going to keep rolling. We have people on the line that's going to ask you some questions, but I also want to put in there, throw out this. I want you to talk about the Israeli-Africa connection. Of course, you know, Israel the Zionists control this diamond industry. Why is that? Remember when South Africa was apartheid situation and there was a boycott against arms? Israel was giving arms to South Africa and looks like they got some diamonds back from it.
Let Nefer respond to that, but I'll say quickly, encourage everybody, if you get a chance, do a search on the web and find the film The Diamond Empire. Right? Okay. But Petna, I'm sorry, Netfa. I don't know why I called you Petna, Netfa. I was talking to Petna this morning.
Netfa,
please jump in.
Yeah, jump in with that. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, this is oddly enough, this is where you're even more, maybe more qualified than me, but I know that this relationship between Southern Africa and Israel goes way back. Weissman and Smuts, this is this little book called The Ties That Bind, the relationship between South Africa and Israel, Zionism and Israel. And of course, these are both settler colonies. Even up until this day, Israel plays a destabilizing role, does what the United States, you know, doesn't want to get caught doing. The extraction, you mentioned the extraction of the diamonds. There's this, and then I heard of Dan Gertler from Maurice. I don't know if you remember this, Maurice. It was way long time ago, and I interviewed because I'm had my radio hat on then too. And this, diamond distributor, distributed a lot of things, Dan Gertler, who actually is under had been under some kind of sanctions and whatnot by the, or you know, I guess sanctions by the United States that they don't enforce, but is a big extractor, exporter of diamonds, gets them from, and he's an Israeli, gets them from Africa, but largely the Congo. It's a lot. In fact, Israel is the largest diamonds distributor in the world. There's not one single diamond mine in Israel. Oh, so all of that is coming out of Africa. And so these are the kind of relationships that Israel has played. In fact, not to mention that, it's also the, you know, just in terms of selling weapons, and it does this all over the world, not just in Africa, in terms of being this front proxy for the West, and particularly the United States, in terms of being able to give arms to groups that the United States would not want to get caught supplying. And doing certain things, the backdoor room deals and stuff like that. So this is the role that. But I wanted to get this in there, and I'll just say this because I know you got a couple callers that, in terms of, and it goes back to them, one of the things that we came out earlier in terms of this exposing of the comprador class or the sellout class and misleaders. They're both in Africa and the United States, and we want to call it, you know, there's compradors in the United States too, the black African misleaders that serve and peddle the war, hold the water for imperialism, and that this is our front line. This needs to be our front line in terms of those of us trying to create a better world to expose this. It's being exposed on the continent. It should be exposed here. I think here is a lot more work to do in terms of the role that they serve, the comprador class, comprador meaning, you know, that class that professes to be working in the interest, elected officials or whatever, in the interest of a constituency, but is exactly, in fact, serving the ulterior motives of foreign interests.
You're here.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's run down. So let's get some callers. Callers, get the question, make it brief, because we're running quickly out of time. We have Johnny from South Africa. Johnny, talk to us.
Hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Question.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about this very, I like your topic on the diamonds in South Africa. I'm very well aware of that. But what I'm calling for is, it's about what we call the Benjamin Friedman speech. It was delivered in the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. in 1960.
All right, let me ask you, do y'all know about this speech? Okay, because quickly, what's the question? Yes, what's the question? Because they're not familiar with the speech.
No, the Benjamin Friedman speech, I'm going to make it very clear. I'm not anti-Semitic, never have been and never will be. I'm 200% anti-Zionism.
Okay.
Zionism is an ideology.
Right.
Judaism is a religion. I don't have an issue with that. And then... Judaism doesn't define your ethnicity as right. such.
But, Johnny, do you have a question? Because we're
coming
running out
back
of time.
To the,
what's your question, Johnny?
That's a pity, man. It's a pity, man. It's got to do with the Benjamin Friedman speech and what triggered the hatred between the Germans and the Jews. That's what it's about, the Benjamin Friedman speech. Now, a lot of people think that the Jews in Germany control the...
Okay, John, I'm going to have to cut you off. That sounds like a more in-depth, long conversation, especially since my guests have not heard about it. And so we're running out of time. I do want to get a couple of the callers online, 818-985-5735. You can subscribe by hitting option 2. You can be on the line by hitting option 1. Our guests are Maurice Kami from the Friends of Congo and Netfa Freeman from Black Alliance for Peace, and Scooter is from L.A. He's on line 1, I believe.
Good morning, gentlemen. I came in late to the conversation, and I was waiting for one of you guys to talk about Donald Trump, our unfortunate president of the United States, calling Africa an asshole country. And I kept yelling in my car, say what it is, say what he said. You know, and this him and him talking about, oh, there's my black journalist. I mean, come on. It's all about the minerals, you know. The diamonds be damned. It's all about the minerals, man. We don't include me in it, but they want the minerals that Africa's got under their ground, man. And they're gonna do anything in their power to get it. Donald Trump said about Gaza. It's ours. It's mine, you know, and he's just kicking back and waiting for the destruction to happen so we can bulldoze everything out of the way, kill another 100, you know, 200 million people, however many, 2.5 million people there, so he can build a resort. And, yeah, don't forget, he called Africa an S-hole country, yes. And that just blew my mind.
Yeah, so. That was not mentioned. Gentlemen, anyone you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, remember also that when he did say that, he also stated that some of my friends go there to get rich. A lot of people focus on the S-hole country, but in the same presentation, he said that's where my friends go to get rich. You know, Donald Trump, the thing with Donald Trump is that it's important for us to remember, is just that he's vulgar, right? He's not smooth. You know, Obama was smooth. You know, Biden, you know, he was like what he was, but it's still the same system, right? So same system, just different players, actors. Mm-hmm. I just want to say something quickly, just, you know, around that Netflix made the point about Dan Gertler. You know, Dan Gertler, and we're talking about tradition and continued tradition. Dan Gertler is the grandson of, you know, Moshe Schnitzner. Moshe Schnitzner. He was the first president and co-founder of the Israeli Diamond Exchange. So he's carrying on that tradition. He's carrying on the tradition of his grandfather. He's carried on the tradition of Maurice Templesman, you know, who works with the CIA and Mobutu, mm-hmm. and was, right. you know, captured the diamond market in Zaire, Congo, and Angola, and a major, major financier of the Democratic Party. So, you know, these folks are clear about their agenda. The challenge is for us to be clear about our agenda and where our interests lie.
You know what? We're running quickly out of time. We needed like 3 hours for this, to tell the truth, because there's still callers on the line. People still can call 818-985-5735. Hit option 2 to subscribe. But I want you all to go ahead and give your final comments. And, you know, my thing that we do on this program is the strategies so we can win. And then one of the strategies is getting correct information. So we thank you all for this accurate information. And we also stream this live on YouTube. Cut to the chase. You can go to the YouTube channel and send that link to your family and friends. So who wants to start first with your wrap-up comments?
Well, I mean, I'll say really quickly that also that this shows the power of the machine imperialism over individual. So I don't do this individual reductionism thing that Trump's initial, the first Trump 2.1, I mean, 1.0 administration didn't really deal with Africa. You know, it kind of had this hands-on. You had a lot of African countries trying to, or these commentators saying that they, or people saying that it was good that he wasn't going to have, it wasn't going to have the same impact as imperialism does. But now that shifted because imperialism in the West depends on Africa. There's no way to not do that. So you can see what's happening here is a difference in disposition. So it's really about the system. And we have to target the system. We have to build Pan-African internationalist projects and transcontinental programs and relationships. That
Maurice, you got a few seconds to wrap it up.
I just want to wrap up by thanking you, thanking NEFA. You know, encourage people who want to support folks on the front lines in the Congo to go to Free Congo, freecongo.org, freecongo.org, to join the movement, get involved, take action. Just thank you both, you know, for providing
thank you all for joining us.
To be on with you.
That was Maurice Kami and NEFA Freeman, our guests today. I hope you all come back. We have to have you on regularly. Like I tell everybody, my name is Sylvester Rivers. You've been listening to Cut to the Chase, 818-985-5735. Hit option 2 to subscribe. And we'll be back with you next Friday, same time, same stations. Gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep up the great work.
My brothers and sisters, stand up and sing.
Assumpta Oturu, a.k.a. Sister Africa, host of Spotlight Africa on KPFK for over 4 decades. Transitioned on July 2, 2025, here in Los Angeles. Assumpta was a long-standing member of the African Studies Association and a vital force in the Africanist, scholarly, and media communities. A celebration of her life, achievements, and relentless struggle for peace and justice will be held at the Episcopal Church of the Advent, Sunday, August 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. The church is located at 2614 South Longwood Avenue, La Brea and Adams in Los Angeles. This event is hosted by Radio Aphrodisia and KP.